This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, July 13th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as I have a conversation with two significant retirees, two men who have served their country gallantly and who, without fault, right? Men who have served at the front line, guarding and protecting this country, serving their allotted time mandated to them to serve, only to find out that after they have retired, that things ain't things, that they ain't getting their gratuity, that things short. So today we basically going to plea to the Commissioner of the Police, plea to the Commodore of the Defense Force, plea to the Minister of National Security to hear their cry, just to hear what their situation is, right? And so we're going to have that conversation. We have today retired PC Bannister and retired P.O. Maycock from the Defense and from the Police Force. But I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves so we can start this crucial conversation. Because I can't understand how come they can't get their monies. That don't make no sense, right? So I'm going to start off with Maycock. And just give me a brief outline of your career and who you are. And then next I'm going to go to Bannister and you can do the same. That's good? I'm putting the mic kind of close to you so they can hear you properly.
Good morning, Bahamas. Happy Post-Independence Day. A shout out goes out to my son, Antonio, my daughter, Anisha, on the National at Kalina, my sister, Erika Maycock-Roll, my other sister, Christine Maycock-Hasty, and Joy Maycock-Dean. My seven living brothers, my entry 10 veterans and retirees of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, the man and woman of honor chat group of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force under the tree of knowledge and understanding, Faith Avenue South. And Mr. Nuri, thank you for the invite.
Well, it's a pleasure, man. I'm kind of excited to have you online, but go ahead.
My name is Anthony Maycock, normally called Tony. The last rank I served in the Defense Force is a PO, abbreviated Petty Officer. The PO is the abbreviated, and my rank was a Petty Officer within the service. I work in the shipyard, that's the engineering section within the Royal Bahamas Defense Force.
Okay, and go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Bahamas. I'd like to shout out to my family, my colleagues, all those retired officers who was a part of our gratuity and chat group. And also like to having me here today, having to express this truth after 22 years. My name is Shannon Bannister. I joined the police force in 1975. And retired in 2000. I serve in numerous departments, and I'm here because I have a passion for truth and facts. And I feel like myself and my colleague across, I know we've been wrong, and it needs to be right. And that's all I'm asking and pleading the Bahamas today to hear us out.
Okay, see, I find it concerning to hear that you serve until retirement and you can't get your monies. right? And I listened to the narrative of what a police officer is and what a defense force officer is, and I'm concerned. I am sincerely concerned. I'm wondering, what exactly is the Minister of National Security doing? What exactly is the Commandant of the Defense Force doing? But I want to hear your story from your lips. I'm going to start with Mr. Bannister, right? What is your concern? And be blank and frank and up forward so I can understand it, and then we'll discuss it.
My concern is that it is impossible in my mind that I joined in 1975 with a number of officers, 23 of us. One or two made senior officers, right? Did just as much time as them, work harder than some of them, produce more than many of them, but they can get a gratuity. And they because sub-officers and constables can't get it. I can't get it.
But why are you saying sub-officers can't get it, but officers can get it, and you both serve the same amount of time?
That's the narrative of the commissioners at that time. I like to wish the present commissioner a success in his job. And hopefully, he would come to the light and the truth and realize that it can't be right.
Now, Fernandez is a good man. So I'm sure this issue is going to be addressed immediately. So I want to hear exactly and explain. Because you're showing me some kind of police act, right? And what this police act says. And I want you to put that forward so the people who are listening can understand you. Because we're still trying to understand exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, the police act. First of all, let me get a myth out of the way. The myth is that the police force was semi-military. Well, that's just like finding Chick Chani and Andres. The reality is it's a civilian force, right? Governed by the public service. It's not an entity in itself. The act just gives the commissioner some authority based on the work that is classified for officers to do.
I want you to explain that. You're trying to say it's not the police force, not military, and then that everything comes under the commissioner?
Everything comes under, we are public servant.
You're public servant?
Yes, we are public servant. We are public servants doing civil duty. We are known as public service. I don't know where this myth came from. I joined that sub officers down a public servant, they were civil servant. Well, you know, there ain't no civil servant act. There's no such thing as civil, and you do civil service. But we all are public servants.
So, but public servants get gratuity when they're finished, though?
Well, I can explain that to you, sir. According to the Public Service Act, and even the Police Act has it, anyone who do not less than 10 years is entitled to a gratuity. It ain't say no corporal, constable, sergeant, ASP, or DSP. It says anyone. Any police officer in the act. In the act, it says any police officer.
So, technically, previous commissions of police have been abused or ignoring that point?
I believe some may have abused it. I believe just didn't know.
What do you mean they didn't know? These are educated men. I don't understand what you mean by that.
Mr. Neary, let's be frank. Sometimes commissioners are appointed.
Yeah.
People get promoted to the police force not because they're knowledgeable or they did the job. Now, let's be honest. Who they know, they bring them in. They promote them. People got called from the island. I give you a good story.
No, yeah, go ahead.
I give you a good story. When I went to see Assistant Commissioner Hepburn, why I couldn't get promoted, right? He gave me a story, but he said, Bannister, I want to tell you something. The minute you come from being town and the person come from the island, you have a strike against you. You have a strike against you just because you're from Beantown, Kemp Road, mm-hmm. and the other person is from Long Island or Cat Island. That's reality. My friends, my colleagues can tell you, many of us live this.
Mm-hmm.
Persons don't get promoted because they don't know their job, they can't do their job, they didn't do their job. I mean, it'll take me almost maybe a week to explain the truth. The whole truth.
But I can appreciate it. Kisses come by favor. And some persons are able to get promoted because at the whim of police. And you might have been working and remain a constable or don't move beyond a sergeant for years. But I want to hear more about this gratuity, and how come you did not get it? That's what I want to concentrate on.
Okay, I retired in 2000. That's June of 2000. I went on vacation, and I was discharged in December because, you know, I had leave.
Yes.
In June 2001, I received a check from the Treasury for 7 months back pay. So I asked the lady when I went to get my pay, I say, "Madam, this is not sufficient money. I'm entitled to a gratuity."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Young man, you're entitled to gratuity, but the Commissioner of Police, the police force, has not submitted your application."
What?
Right? The lady took an application,
mm-hmm.
gave it to me, assisted me with filling it out, tell me, take it back to the police barrack, which is only 5 minutes across the road,
mm-hmm.
which I did. ASP Tyrone Boris.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him what the lady at the Treasury said to mm-hmm. me.
So clearly this Treasury person knows what's supposed to happen.
Exactly. She knows the procedure. So I took her to ASP Boris. He told me to wait there. He went upstairs to see the then Commissioner, Paul Farquharson.
Mm-hmm.
Came back down and told me to come back in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I returned in 5 days because, you know, you give people time.
Yeah.
On returning, ASP Tom Boris told me, he said, the then Commissioner told him, "I ain't going to get it."
What do you mean you ain't going to get it?
Well, that's just what they told me.
Did they give you a reason?
No reason. The only reason I didn't say, might say nobody before me get it. So that's the closest it came to as reason. But I tell him, I'm entitled to this gratuity because it's in the act. It's in the public service.
Do you have the act there?
Yes, sir.
Let's read that. Let's read that. But as you get that paper, let me talk to P.O. Maycock. Yes. Maycock, what is your concern? I heard you all have some money concerns also.
Yeah,
but what is your concern?
We have some concern with money order. Let me let the public know. Like my counterpart, the police. Once the police, they are officers. A general statement cannot be made for the members of the defense force as officers. We have two structures. One is officers, and one is enlisted servicemen, and that's what I was. When I was in the defense force, I was an enlisted person. And I want the public to know what governs us. The thing that governs us is the Defense Force Act, the Defense Force regulations, the Defense Force instructions, captain standing orders, and then they have something what they call temporary memorandum. From since the time I joined in 1981, and I leave temporary memorandum in place. And how long should temporary memorandum be in place? Now, when it comes to us being being a retiree, then they start to put us underneath the general orders. That's where this government go wrong.
So you're not a part of general orders whilst you're on the Defense Force.
Right.
But when you retire, you become a part of general orders then.
Right. But they use general orders when it suits them.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the Security Council mm-hmm. when it suits them. So in a nutshell, they more or less use us in a way when it comes to the act with the military to keep us in line. For example, my counterpart, while serving, they can't have a union. The Defense Force cannot have a union.
Y'all is forced labor, eh? You and prisoners are the only two forced labor in the Bahamas. You can tell you do anything.
No, sir, not the prison. Prisoners,
Defense Force officers.
Well, I don't know about prisoners, but I know about the Defense Force.
I can have them clean the yard and thing.
Yeah, well, sir. The Defense Force, we basically is the only military organization in this country. Not basically, it's the only military organization in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the politicians them treat us, for example, the lawmakers went in parliament. They made a special bill for a former serving commodore to Bridges time. Something like that. The retiree association supposed to be taken up to deal with that when it comes to enlistment retirees. Because mm-hmm. we had some people who did went back and they put them in the reserve. And what is this whole thing? We are not living long. Mm-hmm. A lot of my counterparts died.
Mm-hmm.
So when will we get this money? Let me can I go on?
Yeah, man.
Let me take you on a journey here. I'll take you on a journey. I listened to TD Jakes this morning. The bump to better.
Mm-hmm.
In 1987, my technical pay as a leading hand was $75.
Mm-hmm.
In 1997, mm-hmm. my technical pay decreased to $33.33. And the reason being, the then base engineering officer said to us, he went up by uptown, Ministry of Works, who don't know nothing but marine technical work. He said that they was griping, and the politician then saying that they will give us a bigger package on our net pay. Or our base pay. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we did believe, I told the people, by our regulation, pay is this. The Defense Force Regulation, 1984 state, in paragraph 2, in these regulation, I'm going to try to find the one what is referring to enlistment person. This is the one what is referring to enlistment person. The pay of a Marine or enlistment promotion shall begin from the date of his enlistment or promotion as published in the Ministry of Defense circular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we go to the Defense Force Act, when they talk about the Defense Force pension and gratuity, they actually specify what pay is. Pay include technical qualification pay, additional qualification pay, and allowance.
But what is your gripe, though? I want to know what is it that you vex at?
That's why I went in the regulation.
Yes.
And established this.
Yes.
When I retired,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I went up on Meeting Street
mm-hmm.
to the public service. I talked with then Ms. Ann Hamilton and Ms. Lisa Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that technical pay will not be added to my gratuity or my pension. So,
but why not?
Because they use general orders. They throw away the act. they throw away the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
They use the regulation and act to probably keep us in line.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's time to deal with us with pay, mm-hmm. then they throw it away.
The Commodore notice.
Come on, man. Come on. I was told. I'm not sure. Okay. They carry two former Commodores. The mm-hmm. association, retiree association. I wouldn't carry them nowhere. You know why I wasn't gonna carry them nowhere?
Go ahead.
Because they was in the seat already. Mm-hmm. They could correct this.
Mm-hmm.
They could correct this. They could erect this and put this in order from then.
Let me go back to that
yes,
note.
Sir. Yes,
go ahead.
Sir.
Read that note for me.
That any police officer having completed not less than 10 years of contingent service retired from the force at an age other than at which, or in circumstances other than those in which he may be granted a pension, in respect of such service, the Governor General, acting in accordance with advice of the Police Service Commission, may grant to such officers in respect of each year of such service a gratuity amounting, they have 2.5 years, but it's actually 4% per annum of his salary at the date of his retirement. My contention is this. If one can do 11 years, mm-hmm. 16 years, 21 years, and get a gratuity, how the officer who completes the full service, the pension, how I just want them to show me how they take it away. How it is taken away.
So wait, you say if you serve 19 years.
If you serve 24 years.
Up to 24 years.
11 months and 30 days.
You can get your gratuity.
To resign.
Uh-huh.
You can get a gratuity.
Yeah.
But you do one more day.
One more day.
And they take.
They don't like you.
No, they don't.
They don't like you.
They don't. And then, as is the Constitution, Mr. Neary,
mm-hmm.
as is the Constitution, as it says, a contract officer, 32. Where an officer serving under office is serving under a contract, which provides for the termination of that contract by notice before the expiration of the period of service stipulated in the contract in any case, we have to dismiss that officer under these regulations. The commissioner is required to make a recommendation to the governor general. And the commissioner is of the opinion that such contract should be cabinet, together with a reason for such cause, and refer to the observation therein. The director personal recommendation the commission should recommend to the governor general whether such course should be taken. 1.24.1. The provision of this article shall have effect for the purpose of enabling an officer or his personal to appeal any of the following decision, that is to say, A, a decision of appropriate service commission embodying a recommendation in respect of an office under Article 122 of the Constitution, not to grant or not to withhold, reduce in amount or the spend of an award. Award is gratuity. A decision any authority to remove an officer from office if the consequence of removal is that an award cannot be granted in respect of the office service and public officer.
So when you read that, I gather that it's all up to the Commissioner of Police. If the Commissioner of Police wants you to have gratuity, you can have gratuity.
That's not what this. That's what the Constitution says.
That's what the Constitution says?
No, the Constitution is not saying that.
So who is responsible for making sure you get a gratuity?
The Police Service Commission.
The Commission?
Yeah, Commission, not Commissioner. Commissioner makes, I keep on telling people this, but they don't want to listen. Commissioner makes recommendation.
Okay.
If he tried to withhold, deny, whatever, he then supposed to take this procedure mm-hmm. to the proper authority, who then will call me or my representative to come there. We have a counsel as me saying why I think I should get it based on what he have recommended. Never done. Never done.
So let me try to understand that. You retired.
I'm retired.
Right? And you are entitled, you're entitled to gratuity. The commissioner of police is supposed to recommend whether you get the gratuity or not.
If he knows.
Let me walk through it. He could recommend if you should get gratuity or not. But in this case, he decided to withhold it.
Yes, sir.
So, man, you ain't getting this.
Right.
But if he decides to withhold it, there's supposed to be a procedure.
The Constitution is right here.
That where he go to the commission. What do you call the commission again?
Police Service Commission.
And then they have basically a trial to say if you are
I present my side of the
Your case,
and they present their side. Then the commission decides whether they're going to uphold his recommendation or decide to go with mine or whether they go down the middle.
So how many people you think, police officers, former police officers, retired police officers, have gone through this?
Let me give you a history. In 2013, when we thought about taking this matter to the court,
okay,
we went to the public service,
mm-hmm.
right? The public service said, look, we can't help y'all unless y'all make an application.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us the application, right? All of us filled it out, got it notarized, and taken to the police headquarters. After it was taken to police headquarters, we haven't heard anything from it. I believe they taken through in the garbage then.
You think they threw in the garbage bin? Okay. Actually, I have a caller online, but I want to read this text before I go to P.O. Maycock, right? Hi, so the police are public servants? Question, why were the police encouraged to abuse the public during... that doesn't make sense. I'm talking about retirees, and now you want to talk about what the police and abuse and stuff like that. You're trying to be political. That's not nice.
Great show. As usual, I don't blame them for giving someone because we give this power. Okay, this is another one being political. I see we're talking about police and defense force issues and everyone being political. A lot of anti-menace texts, you know. But go ahead, Maycock. Right? Yeah, I'm trying to understand why you ain't getting your tactical money. But before I do that, are you, I'm going to ask Bannister the same question too. Are you a part of the Defense Force Association? Because surely they should be lobbying for this. You shouldn't be the lone voice in the wilderness crying out saying, hey, something is wrong here. Can you address this? This is a legitimate scenario issue. You can't be the only one. Surely other people see something is wrong.
No, I was a part of the Defense Force Association and when they first started. I did contribute. And when they got their non-profitable organization certificate, they said that we will have to basically join and pay dues. And because I didn't pay dues, they just dropped me like a hot potato. And I basically said to them, they use and abuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was fair because they did it a couple of us, several of us. But anyhow, that's water under the bridge. I come here to talk about this money.
Go ahead, let's talk about this money.
In 2006, that's when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
The then Minister of Defense, that was Cynthia Mother Pratt, they gave us a pay increase. Of course, I had Defense Force when I was at 44 years of age. I served 25 years of service. Mother Pratt, they gave us a raise. The raise, for some strange reason, they made it as if it was an allowance. They put it in retro. They didn't put it on nobody base pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have, we still would have been with that raise, what they did not put on our base pay.
Mm-hmm.
If I did not go to this local paper and it says, retired Defense Force officer demand answer over pension.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it in. And you need allowances, and they call it retro. The then Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, the Honorable Hubert Ingram, I went through all kinds of things. I get called all the names in the world from the PS, who called me a coward, but he didn't want to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to his office, he didn't come out yet, but that's the coward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's in the Tribune, because, you know, the Bahamas getting like America. They sue. This the playground for suing. Even if you're telling the truth.
I actually have a text here, and mm-hmm. I will give your opinion. I will read the text.
Yes, sir.
Right? It says, CDF, Bo, and Sakavala did write in relations to the government using the RBDF as public service in time for service, but throw general orders at us, and no military, including RBDF, comes under general orders. And I know you were saying that earlier, that upon retirement, you all of a sudden move to general orders. And I know for a fact, military can't be civil servants. You're military, right? So if you're a military, you're not subjected to, I assume, general orders at all. And that your decisions should be coming from the Commodore. So and similar, I was asking Bannister earlier. Clearly, it's the Commodore who's refusing to give you all the money.
No, sir.
Go ahead.
It's not the Commodore.
Oh, okay.
It's not the Commodore.
So who
it's the public. It's the public service. See,
you are part of general orders then?
No, we are not.
Okay.
We are not. But see, when they actually turn us over to the Security Council,
mm-hmm.
and then the Security Council, they deem certain things, or they deem certain instruction to us.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Security Council do not get involved, then we just use the Defense Force Act regulation, we will be good. But that's how they have it. See, whenever, and I always tell the military is so simple because everything is orders.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is orders. And the minute, Mr. Nui, I'll tell you this. I used to go to work just to play with some of those
our senior officer's head. Yeah, I used to play a game with them. When they come up with what they think, I used to challenge it. For example, they come up with one thing, we must face west and march on the parade ground. I did not do it because we had a standing orders from the captain what state how the parade should be carried out. Mm-hmm. But they didn't amend that. Mm-hmm. So I play with their head. Mm-hmm. Because they go home and they think about these things, and then they come to work and then they practice
no
it on us.
No reason or rhyme on
yeah,
why
but things let me, are... let me get back to this money. I was told that we have a salary / pay progression going on. Now, from since I retired, we had a captain. He's a captain now. He tell us every year for now a decade plus, this man was telling me we was getting that money. Mm-hmm. They told us we was getting this money last month. Mm-hmm. Nothing. But I like Mr. Monroe. I know you're listening. Mm-hmm. We have our families, and all politicians know is vote. We are voters. Mm-hmm. That's all you all understand. Mm-hmm. Don't give us our money. Don't give us our money. We are entitled to it.
Okay, retired PC Bannister. Going back to you and your money, right?
Yeah.
First of all, I asked, are you a part of the police association? And why isn't the police association lobbying for this? This clearly is a cut and dry case, right? You worked, you served your time, you need your gratuity. So how come you ain't getting your money? Something is going wrong.
Well, as it relates to, I'm not a part of the police staff association because I'm retired. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they're on board with us, right? But the Police Staff Association Act was drafted in such a way, right, that they can't say much because there's something in the Police Act, right? There's something in the Police Act for serving officers saying that if you come to the public or you come to the press and they find out that it's you, you'll be could be put on a charge.
Right?
Yes, that's in the Act. That's what's not being in there all from time immortal, right? So you have to be careful because you can be disciplined for speaking out and speaking truth. Okay? I can give you a story. The Police Staff Association just joined with Belinda. Not joined, but
have an association.
With Belinda, right? And, you know, the Staff Association also is in this.
Oh, he didn't get his money either?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was called and asked, what do you think you're doing? What you think you're doing? They don't see, there's a mentality over the police force from time immortal that, hey, just do what you're told. They don't want nobody to know the truth about what's happening or what happens to you in the police force. But I would say this to you, Mr. Neary. You know what hurts me the most? I remember the days when we worked by where the range is now. You get off 10, 11 o'clock in the night, and the car isn't going to pick you, and you walk from Gladstone Road to JFK in the dark. You remember those days? They had no light. That winding road, right? They used to drop us at the back by a person called Justice Graham Rest. They leave us there for the whole night by ourselves. CID officers work 12, 14 hours. And now we retired, and these persons, they're giving these persons long service, good conduct, meritorious award, clout, and copper. But the money for gratuity, what they should begin to show these people appreciation, they don't give. It's amazing.
Interesting. And you, Maycock, I want to know, if you have a break in about 2-3 minutes, I want to know, what do you believe should happen in terms of your money? Who should be helping you now? Who should I be lobbying to make sure this be addressed?
I know we have the Commodore. The Commodore have our interests. This Commodore, in my opinion, is one of the best human Commodores. One of the better. The best one, in my opinion, was Commodore Scowalo. He was the shortest serving one, but he was one of the best serving men. I didn't serve underneath him. The time that he came in and served, I had already retired. Now I watched them from afar because I go to all the functions because I help build the defense force and I retired there. And once they invite me, I do show up. Now, when it comes to Dr. King, Commodore King, Dr. King, I believe he's trying because I look at the advancement. The only thing I get to say about the advancement, the force chiefs stopped that. Dr. King stopped that. The duty watch that the force chief is doing, stop it. Why? Because Marine seaman, able seaman, leading seaman, petty officer, chief petty officer, what they have to look up to when we have the highest a rating could go in a rank and they doing duty still? What privilege do they have? None? That need to be stopped immediately. And those force chiefs, I don't know where they get this foolishness from. They so happy just to be force chiefs? Now, I'm happy with the amount they're getting. I don't have no problem with that. I'm happy for all. But that doing duty? No, that's the highest we could go as enlistment. It's something the junior person should aspire to be or be happy to achieve a force chief. When you achieve force chief, what's the difference? You still doing duty? From a duty officers? Come on, man. That's in officers rank, that's for junior officers.
Okay. We're going to take a short commercial break now. This has been Guardian Radio AM. My name is C.A. Nuri. I have retired PC Bannister with me and retired P.O. Maycock with me. And they have concerns about how they're being treated as retirees after they have had a long service of dedicated service to the Bahamas, right? They're saying that part of their gratuities, part of their technical pay is not being included. And they are laying it squarely with their commission. They're laying it squarely with their commodore. They're laying it squarely with, and saying that someone must look out for them. Someone must ask the tough questions. They need to be considered. And we are here making an appeal for the legal minds like Minister of National Security to just consider, to look at it, to see if these plea make sense. But we'll be right back. Right back after these short messages.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Sign your basketball teams up today for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. August 1st through the 7th for the Pastors versus Politicians, along with the Phil Lightburn Slam Dunk Contest. Then Energy 3-Point Shootout, along with all championship games, live in living color at the Kendall G. Eliza Gymnasium, Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. For more information, contact 601-484-2.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, Just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we're having a conversation with some retirees. Retirees who have served the Bahamas gallantly. And they're saying that how they've been treated in reference to their gratuities, in reference to their, is it technical pay? That's what
it is, technical pay. It is uniform allowance, money allowance.
And I know for you in particular, Defense Officer Maycock, they've been promising this adjustment for years. Every so often, especially when you get a new Commodore, they say, oh yeah, it's coming. And they even again, they said it's coming. They just recently again promised that the money is here and that you should expect it any moment now. And then the years go by, I mean, months go to years, and you never get the money. And right now, you still without the money, and they continue to promise and say soon. Soon, but soon never comes. But I know you have some more concerns you want to discuss. And I say, since I invite you on, go ahead.
Yes. Oh, before I move on to one of the concerns I have, I must tell my member of parliament of Tall Pines, thank you. When he was campaigning, I said to him that I would like to address this. He said, now listen to me. That's Dr. Davil, my member of parliament, a good man. He said, listen, Maycock, the best I could do for you is get you to see these people and let you sit down and let them hear your complaint. And he did so. So I must tell him, thank you for that. And now I am at National Insurance, NIB. I went there, I turned 60. I applied. They gave me 65%. They give me an estimate print out. And they give me a sum amount. When I actually got my National Insurance check, it was lower by some $80-some. When I come back for where I'm supposed to go, I'm going to challenge that. So National Insurance, people, be ready also.
Excellent. And I have a next text, and this text is directly to you, Bannister. Mr. Nuri, I hear the story of these gentlemen, you know, but they are not telling the whole story. I retired, and I got my gratuity check. Something in their story is not added up. Have you heard any stories about anyone getting their gratuity or just something wrong with you?
Mr. Nuri, I'm glad that person texted that. Because, again, I actually know the person who got gratuity. Because I even got one to do an affidavit. So we can take this matter to court eventually to prove that someone got it. There's a number of persons got their gratuity. We went to them, and we are asking persons who got their gratuity to come and assist us. Just be honest. Be truthful. That person who texting you, they should contact us. Let us know that, yeah, they got there. So when we present our case, right, we have somebody who is saying they got theirs. Don't just text. Be your brother's keeper. Grimes Morgan got a song called People Like You. Be people like you. Don't call radio show. Come forward. You will work with us. You supposed to be our brothers. I probably guide your back. But you got something, and you decide to keep it a secret. You know, like I said, Mr., I know I took someone to do an affidavit who got a gratuity. What happened is, we do 25 years. I didn't do the extra 10. Some persons do 25 years, and then they do 10. That's 35. But these gentlemen did 30 years, got a gratuity and do another 10 years and get 40. But they were also sub-officers below. So if those persons got gratuity, that's what we are saying. Mm-hmm. Why are we being denied the gratuity if persons got it? How one how only a small percentage got it and the majority of the persons can't get it? That don't, all of this tells you that something is wrong.
And this text says, congratulations to Mr. Bannister for putting this gratuity issue on his shoulder. We want him to know that 460 plus officers who are in the group fighting for what is theirs, lawfully right, is with him. So you have support. It's very unfortunate that you're not getting yours. So good morning. First problem that I heard, hold on, let me read this before. So good morning. The first problem that I heard coming from the petty officer is allowing the public service to calculate our gratuity and pension. The second problem is resorting to any public service legislation. The Defense Force Act and the Defense Force Regulations covers our gratuity and pensions. It's contrary to the law and is illegal. And you said that, basically.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
But however, it seems that when you retire, you become part of the public service.
Right, and the management team at the public service, they hard and fast with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that what I read from the regulation, the Defense Force regulation, that they'd have to go to the Attorney General office for advice
mm-hmm.
and all of this. So, I mean, that say what pay is.
But
so
see, the good thing I have to say is that Wayne Monroe is an honorable man. He's a reasonable man, he's a lawyer, and he is an advocate for rights, right? For what he does, as his person, that's who he is.
Right.
And as God happened to have it, he's now the Minister of National Security, see? Right? So I see no reason why you can't say, tap him on the shoulder and say, man, can you listen to me? Let me put out my case, Mr. Monroe, right? What do you think? And I'm sure he gave other people legal advice, right? He given a legal advice now to Miss Jobat Kobe in terms of that supposedly hit and run thing, mm-hmm. you know. But see, my point is because he's ahead of you all, over you all, he has a duty of care.
Well, let me say this, Mr. I would like to thank Mr. Monroe. I've had a meeting with Mr. Monroe.
Oh, you had a meeting already?
Yes, I've spoken with Mr. Monroe, and I know, and I believe, eventually he would do something. Sometimes it's like an abused woman. If you stay in the house and continue to get abused, eventually you'll die. But if you reach out, speak out for help, somebody will help you.
Okay. So we have about 3-4 minutes, and I want you to wrap up the basically again summarize what is it. That is your issue, right? What is it that you're lobbying for, right? And I give each one of you 2 minutes to do that. And we'll start off with you, Petty Officer.
Okay, the progression, the technical pay, the allowances is our issue. And I know Mr. Wayne Monroe, he's a Ragged Island man. He's from the Rock. You are Monroe, Maycock. Mm-hmm. We are from the Rock, Ragged Island. And I know, we ain't easy. Like my late cousin used to say, Maycock, you ain't easy. That's Kirby, Leo Kirby.
Mm.
And I would like to let Wayne Monroe know, don't let those people at the Defense Force, especially our captain, lead him down the wrong path.
Especially the captain. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, the captain, we have many captains.
Yeah, okay.
But this one, the one.
Yes. All I want, I'm happy to be here today to let the public know our plight. And I would plead while I'm here to the now Commissioner of Police who came up the ranks. And I believe he has a heart. And Mr. Monroe, I know you have a heart because you spoke, we spoke, and I know you have a heart. And I'm looking forward. After 22 years for me, and after this matter being the trial again got from 2013, I'm looking forward to 2022 being the end of us crying in the wilderness and being sorrowed and taken care of in this new day.
Mind you, I hear your plight. I empathize and sympathize with both of you because your argument makes sense. I don't know. I cannot understand why you don't have your money. It just don't make sense to me. But I have one more text here, and this text is from a Brian Cartwright, and he identified himself, and he wanted to say, I've known Mr. Bannister from the early 70s. He was a very hard-working police officer. I'm hoping he gets his gratuity. And he just wanted to say that and put that on record, that he supports you and that he wanted you to know out loud that that he's listening and he hear your plight and he will join in on this fight for you, I guess, you know? But as we go, y'all are persons on the front line. Y'all are responsible for protecting us and guarding this country. And to know that after your retirement, that you're being ignored after you complain again and again, after Commodore after Commodore, after Commissioner, and after Minister, and no one has yet rectified this problem, is egregious. And something is wrong. So I'm hoping that this brief conversation will prick some ears of some people and say, okay, let me entertain this conversation. Let me see what is going wrong, right? So I'm hoping that happens. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri, and it was definitely a pleasure having this conversation with you. Have a wonderful day.